From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. We're Idaho Matters right now. 4 years ago, the New York Times Magazine started an initiative called the 1619 Project to look at the 400th anniversary of Black slavery in America. The project has sparked hundreds of conversations on the legacy of Black slavery and the contributions of Black Americans. It's also sparked backlash, as several states have created laws to block it and critical race theory from public schools. Dr. Richard Bell is a professor of history at the University of Maryland, and he's hosting a series of lectures about the project at the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute in Boise. Welcome to the program, Dr. Bell.
Thanks so much for having me.
So for folks who aren't familiar, talk to us quickly about the 1619 Project. What is it? How did it get started?
So I think you gave us a good summary there. So the 1619 Project began as a special edition of the New York Times Sunday Magazine, conceived by one of their investigative reporters by the name of Nicole Hannah-Jones. And her idea was that as the 400th anniversary of the arrival of the first enslaved Africans was approaching in 2019, that might be a good moment to try to assess in some way the 400-year-long legacy of American slavery in American history. And so the magazine commissioned several writers and scholars to pen essays. Nicole Hannah-Jones wrote one herself in which they tried to take on those questions.
So how did the project look at the American Constitution as well as Reconstruction?
So the Constitution is one of the topics, historical topics, which Nicole Hannah-Jones's introductory essay in the 1619 Project really hones in on. And if I could paraphrase her in that essay, she says something along the lines of that the United States was not constituted as a democracy, but as a slaveocracy for slave owners. And she's referring there to the claim made by many scholars, actually, that there are so many pro-slavery provisions baked into the text of the original 1787 Constitution, that even though that document does not use the word slave or slavery explicitly, it nonetheless is functionally pro-slavery. And of course, you know, a claim like that can strike many of our ears as being controversial or radical or flat out wrong. And yet there's actually, in this particular case, a fair amount of historical scholarship on which Nicole Hannah-Jones is basing that claim.
Well, I have to say, a couple of years ago, listened to the entire 1619 podcast and found it to be fascinating and highly educating. So with that said, though, several states, as I mentioned, they've passed laws to actually keep this project out of public schools. Why does this project upset some people in power so much, some lawmakers in particular?
It's a hard question to answer without generalizing here. So I'll try and be careful here. I would say, firstly, that the entire 1619 Project is framed as an exercise in truth-telling, in correcting the record, in getting away from overly sanitized, whitewashed views of American history as an age of innocence. So, of course, a project like that is going to ruffle a lot of feathers. It's also true that Nicole Hannah-Jones, a Black woman, has been a vigorous defender of this project, and that has, I think, further ramped up the tensions surrounding it. It's also true more largely that most of us who are proud U.S. citizens, myself included, despite this funny British accent, you have trouble reconciling how much we love this country with the hard history of this country sometimes. But if I could make one extra point here, it would be that to ban the 1619 Project from schools is wrongheaded perhaps in a couple of ways. First is that there aren't actually many schools who are teaching the 1619 Project. It has not replaced or displaced pre-existing curriculums. The lesson plans that go along with it have always been voluntary and supplementary. And to ban any hard look at our own history, I think, is generally wrongheaded and not a good indicator of a thriving citizenship and a vibrant democracy.
Mm-hmm. So for regular folks, Dr. Bell, and I only have about a minute left with you, how should they take a closer look at the events of 1619 and what grew out of slavery?
Well, 1619 itself is one event among thousands which mark the coming of African enslavement to American shores. We probably shouldn't put too much emphasis on that one date. We should perhaps look instead at the scale and scope. And I would say, if folks haven't read the 1619 Project for themselves, if they've only heard cable news hosts characterize it on TV every night, everyone should do themselves a favor and go and read it with their own eyes. I think the magazine version contains a few flaws, which I'm happy to discuss at length on another occasion, but I do think the more recent book version of the 1619 Project, it's big and it's blue, is very careful, very well calibrated and robustly evidenced. And if you want to engage with the project and its claims, the book version published just a couple of years ago is probably still accessible, hopefully, in many public libraries, and you can go find it there.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now, we're taking center stage. Introducing NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, a collection of Black-led stories from NPR's podcasts. Search NPR Black Stories, Black Truths wherever you get your podcasts.